Thank you, Michael. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but there is much strength in the ox. And I often think about sometimes in our young people when they may jump around here, people are saying, oh, I wish everybody would keep quiet. But if you've ever had children, you understand that maybe that's just their youthful exuberance. And I thank God for youthful exuberance. Amen? And I wish we all had more of that youthful exuberance. too soon old and too late smart is what we're saying here. So, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord God, I do give this day to you and pray, Lord God, that as I would bring forth this word, that we would see people touched by your Spirit, that would be open, Lord God, to receive all that you have for us, Lord God. We praise you and we love you and we give you thanksgiving in Christ's name. Amen and amen. So glad I serve the risen Savior. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're a good God. Do you have the assurance? And I know that that's an open-ended question, but that is what is in my mind. Do you have the assurance today? Do you have the assurance in your heart that God wants you to have? Are you living as a person with assurance? Are you living in one that is constantly doubting the things of God and the move of God in your life? I love to know that each and every one of you could say boldly, I have the assurance. Today is Pentecost Sunday. So, got a few Pentecostals out there. So the coming of the Holy Spirit 50 days after the resurrection, and thanking God for that as Christ spent 40 days with the disciples after his resurrection, and then he went to heaven, ascended to heaven, and 10 days later was the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it was a fulfillment of the promise that Christ had made. And we had such a good study that Richie led this morning as we spoke about the power of Jesus Christ, and we centered a lot on the Trinity and the truth of the Trinity that is presented in the Gospels. And actually, it's throughout the entire Bible if we would take time to look into the truth of the Father being God, the Messiah, the Son being God, and the Holy Spirit being God. There are not three gods. There is one God. Three and one, one and three, and the little boy said, three and one, one and three, and the one in the middle died for me. So I often have liked that little thought. But today, we're thinking about the Holy Spirit in this sense. And John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And then in John 14:26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And in John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And now I want to read Acts 2 and just touch on a few things as we look at this, after we have read this. So if you have your Bibles open, or we can get Acts 2, I'm sure we'll get that on the screen. So reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised about, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia and in Egypt and in the parts of Libya and Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you all, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in him, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which thou now see and hear. For David is not ascended up into the heavens, but he saith unto himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Amen. I have often thought when reading that how miraculous a time that must have been, and how exciting a time that must have been, with a rushing mighty wind. Now, we had a rushing mighty wind here a few days ago and trees fell, but imagine this kind of wind was a supernatural, a Shekinah kind of wind, where the Spirit of God came in and filled the apostles and all that were in that upper room, 120, with the power of the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak a supernatural understanding language. Of course, they were speaking in known languages, but it was a supernatural method by which they were doing that. And everyone stood about doubting, it said, as to what was happening there. At Pentecost, the disciples were filled with this Holy Spirit. And as I think about the Holy Spirit coming, I want to think of him specifically this day as coming as Comforter. And after I read that, I found where really was the comfort in that? It's not some soothing way that the Holy Spirit came in. He came in with power. Amen. He came in a mighty way, and there was fire, and there was conviction, and there Peter preached here, and then he preached an additional sermon where he really convicted, and it's hardly seemed to bring any kind of what the world might call comfort. And again, Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another Comforter. So I want us to think about the word comfort as pertaining to the Holy Spirit and what exactly that meant. After Pentecost, the disciples were mocked, they were beaten, they were imprisoned. Where was the comfort? Where was the comfort of the Holy Ghost in that way? And so I want to think about that as we look at that. Is the comfort you are seeking in the Holy Spirit an ease of life? Are you looking to live an easy life? The Bible says, in the world, you will have tribulation. So if you thought that coming to Christ would be something that would bring you to a place of ease, and the Holy Spirit would comfort you with an easy life, you have another thing coming. In the world, you will have tribulation if, in fact, you are yielded to the Holy Spirit. Is the comforter you seek a means to retire from any kind of aggression or conflict that the world might bring upon you because you're a Christian? The Bible said that Christ said, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. And so know this day, that although the Holy Spirit is bringing comfort, He's not bringing comfort the way the world might understand comfort. It's a different kind of comfort. I've spoken about this picture I saw some years ago, and I've always loved the thought about that. And I forget if it was Alexander or one of the great military leaders. And it's a picture, a painting of one of the generals, and he is comforting his troops. And the picture is this general with a drawn sword jabbing the backs of his army. And the comfort in that was to encourage them or to motivate them onward. And I've often had that same picture, and I'm sure others have. If we think about the Holy Spirit, when I think about the Holy Spirit, I think about Him prodding us onward. Some people have an imagination of the Holy Spirit putting His arms around you and saying, there, everything is going to be okay. I don't picture the Holy Spirit like that. I picture the Holy Spirit prodding me on to be able to stand against the things of darkness. In the world, I believe we will have tribulation. But I believe that when the Holy Spirit comes up, He comes up to me and He says, listen, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but know that I am with you of a truth, and I will be with you no matter what you face, even if it is to suffering or death, I will never leave nor forsake you. That's the kind of Holy Spirit I have with me. Because there's no one in this congregation that can say, I don't have any trials. I don't have any temptation. I don't have any suffering. So if you thought that you would be exonerated somehow from any kind of the pressures of this life, then you have to reconsider that God wasn't talking about comfort where He came over and held your hand and cried with you. He's talking about someone that would stand with you in the middle of the fray and walk through the fire with you. That's the God we have. That's the comfort we have in Christ. I've always imagined Him like that, coming and just standing with me, having the confidence. Imagine this. If I was backed by the entire U.S. military, there would be no foe against the U.S. military that I would be afraid to stand against, because I knew that the entire U.S. military is behind me. So now get this. You have the entire kingdom of heaven behind you in the person of the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit motivating you on. There's no weapon formed against you that will prosper. There is no foe that would dare stand against you as you stand firm in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ours is not to hang our heads and cry and run away. Ours is to be aggressively going forward. And that's what God has called you to do, to advance, never to retreat. It's not the retreating Christian that is going to see great success in their life. It's going to be the aggressive kingdom, aggressive Christian that takes the kingdom by force. And I believe that with all my heart. I will be with you and I will strengthen you. I hear the Holy Spirit saying to someone in this congregation, I will be with you and I will strengthen you and I will be with you in the hour of your greatest temptation. I will lead you through your greatest trial. I will stand with you in your suffering and in your dilemma, and I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death with you, and I will bring you to a glorious end in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank God for that. I thank God that I have the indwelling Holy Spirit within me. And I know that I am well able to stand against anything that Satan would try to throw against me, that the world would try to throw against me, or that my own flesh would try to inflict me with. I don't trust my own flesh. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so I don't lean to my own understanding. I trust in God. I've told you that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in a Pentecostal manner years ago in Rock Church in New York City. And I had hands laid upon me and prayed over for to receive the fullness of the Spirit. And I had a great move of God in my life. And I did speak in tongues and I did worship God. But I have also told you about a unique thing that happened beside that. I had what I thought was a clear vision from God. And in that vision from God, I saw myself in front, one me standing in front, and behind me was a troop of people, and we were marching aggressively toward a goal. Two things I had gained from that or gleaned from that was marching into battle and marching towards eternal life in the promised land with Jesus Christ. But not to see that I was some great leader that was doing this on my own, because behind me and in front of me were other troops and others that were leading. And I, as I reflected on that, I felt that that was a call upon my life to preach the gospel and to pastor a flock. Now, the pastor is not any greater than the flock, and please, I'm not trying to exalt anything. I'm just saying that that is the vision I had, and that is what I had gleaned from it, that I was marching in this great procession to go into battle. Some term it a second work of grace when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and others yielding to the Spirit, or maybe others to the endowment with power. But whatever your theological understanding is of the endowment with power or the filling of the Holy Ghost, the main thing is to be filled with the comfort of Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We are to be filled with that comfort that only the Holy Spirit can bring. And so we spoke last week about approaching God and keeping the way clear, nothing between my soul and my Savior, to be able to get through the temple, get up into that place of the Holy of Holies. Of course, we know now that the Holy of Holies is open to all who will enter, because the wall of partition is removed and the curtain has been rent asunder, and the way into the Holy of Holies is made open to us. So we have approach, but at times we can clutter that approach with things of our own life. Amen? And that was the point I was making. So if last week's word was approach, this week's word for us is do you have the assurance? This week's word is assurance. And I ask you, do you have the assurance of the Holy Ghost in your life? Do you have the assurance? Are you sure? I want you to be sure that you can stand in the midst of the fray, knowing that the Holy Spirit stands with you, that nothing will come against you that God doesn't know about. Do you have that assurance that He is with you in that way, in that form? I'm filled with the assurance that God is with me. I have a firm confidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. I have faith that I am sure that Christ is in me of a truth, and that the Holy Spirit is moving in my life. And I only say that with, like, I know that I'm standing here and I have black shoes on. I know that the Holy Spirit is in me, and I am assured of that. That when the Holy Spirit needs me, I want to make myself available for the things that He is calling me to. When I think about the filling of Christ, I am humbled that God would ever pour into one such as I the Spirit of God. As we said last week, that we are the temple of the living God, it's almost embarrassing to say that when we think of the times that we have failed Him and done those things were egregious in His sight. But I thank God that I have the Spirit. I'm filled with a sense of purpose. The day I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I knew that I was filled with the Spirit of God. I was filled with a vision. I was filled with a sense of purpose. I was filled with a commission The commission was to go, and I had the impetus to go forth because I felt an assurance of what God had done in my life. Now, when the enemy attacks, and some are even being attacked here this day, and I've spoken to some already, difficult things have come in your life. And I will tell you this, if you run from the enemy, he's going to catch you. If you hide from the enemy, he's going to find where you're hiding. The enemy knows that. If you stop and are frozen with fear, he is going to run you over. But if you stand and fight the enemy, he will flee from you. I guarantee you that. I've had battle after battle with the enemy, and I've tried every one of those to run away, to try and hide, frozen in fear, but the day I took the name of Jesus Christ, I put the enemy to flight. I live over in the Bashakil wetland area, and right along the Bashakil behind my house, I border what is called the D&H Canal. The D&H Canal is a canal that, it's a pathway, and then there's a canal maybe from here to the wall, dug out. And years ago, they would bring coal from Pennsylvania up in Albany and way up and bring it down on barges. And horses would pull these barges down through the D&H Canal, down to, I think, the Delaware, float them over to someplace else. But it must have been amazing a means of a transit to move. Of course, now overland trucking took the place of that. But it was an amazing affair to see that where the water had flooded that, and they would bring those barges down. Well, I walked down there every once in a while, and I went walking down there one day, and I looked behind me, and coming after me was a pit bull and another dog, and they were bent on biting me. And so those things all ran through my mind. Do I run? Do I hide? Do I stand frozen in fear? When I turned my back on them, they sped up, and I whipped around on them, and I turned on them, and I started to run at them and growling as like I, you've never heard me growl. But I'm going after them, turning on these things. And they halted, and they started to back up from me. And so I thought, I better get out of here. So I turned, and when I turned, here they came again. So I went after them again, and we had this dance for maybe a minute or so. It seemed a little longer. And finally, they decided to give up on me. One thing they didn't know that I knew, I was carrying a 12-gauge shotgun at that moment. And if worse came to worse, I could have shot them to death. But we have in our back pocket, no, I shouldn't say that, but we have in our arsenal the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what you have. You needn't turn your back on the enemy. You need to aggressively attack him, whether you are carrying a 12-gauge shotgun or not. You are carrying the power and the promise that God Almighty has given you. Amen? Do you have the assurance this day? You have the assurance that God is going to be with you when that difficult time comes. I have the assurance. I have the assurance because the Word has said it. I have proved it. I just don't want to speak theologically. I speak experientially that God has worked in my life through the power of the Holy Ghost. And when I have turned my back in fear, the enemy has crept up to bite me in the back. But when I have stood against the enemy, he has fled from me, and he will flee from you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I thank God for that, and I give him glory this day that I have the assurance. We know that the Holy Spirit came to endue us with power. And Acts 1:8 says, "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And yes, we were endued with power from on high. But the power, I am saying this, listen to me. The power is initiated by the assurance of the presence of God in our life. Now get that. I know that's it seems like I'm just splitting hairs or just doing, but I believe when a person has been filled with the Holy Spirit, of course, maybe one's going to follow the other, but work out with me for a second. When a person doesn't have the assurance that God is going to be with them in the midst of a difficulty, even though they possess the power, they may not use it. Does that make sense? So if a person is endued and he's standing there with a 12-gauge shotgun and he never uses it, then what good is it? Or if he never aggressively goes after the enemy with a growl, then the power is not manifest. But when a person realizes the assurance that is promised them in the Word of God and by Christ Himself and by the witness of the Holy Ghost within him, he is more than conqueror. He is as bold as a lion to be able to aggressively go after the enemy. And see, I believe that. You cannot stand still and expect the enemy to pass you by. As I said, he will run you over because he will sense the fear in you. Never give in to fear. Only give in to the knowledge that Christ is in you of a truth. That is what to give in to. Rest in that. That is where to abide. So as I'm saying, I believe that if a person, the power of the Holy Spirit is energized within a person as they are filled with the assurance that the presence of God is with them and will bring them through the fray, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And I thank God for that. He is the comforter, and the comfort of the assurance that he is with us and he is going to bring us through the most difficult time is that which, in, I'm telling you, which engages the promise of God. You, when you have that assurance, you are very bold. When you are hesitant and you are retiring and you're not sure, you're never going to be able to make that bold stand. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. That's what the Bible is saying. We don't have a wishy-washy gospel. We have an aggressive gospel. We don't have a Holy Spirit that comes once in a while. He is with us forever, even to the ends of the world. That's what you have. This is you that has that. This is the power of Jesus Christ that is working in you. I have the assurance. Do you have the assurance? I want you to have that assurance today. I want to see this church move ahead mightily by the assurance they have in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you are bought with a price. Thank God I'm not my own. I would have sold myself cheaply, but I've been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. Whoa. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that has purchased my life, purchased my salvation, filled me with the Holy Ghost, and gave me a purpose and a reason to live. He came that I might have life, and that more abundantly. You know, sometimes people said, well, when I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I'll do great things for God, or that God, this is the way you should think, that God will do great things with me. It's not us, again, I maybe was leading you to think that we have the Holy Spirit like a tool in our toolbox that we can get out. It's not that. The Holy Spirit has us in his toolbox. The Holy Spirit directs and guides us. We don't take him out when we need him. He takes us out when he needs us. Will we respond with assurance that he can do over and above all that we can ask or think? I will not be pushed around by Satan. I refuse to be. And I know some of you have been pushed around by Satan and the world and the flesh. I'm telling you, it's time to say, I have gone this far, but I'm not going back one more step. I'm going ahead because I have the assurance that Christ has promised me that I will conquer in all things. That's what God has for you. I'm adamant about that this day because I know that there are some that have to make that stand and go ahead in the things of Christ. Do you have the assurance? Do you have the assurance? Praise God. Stick with me. Stick with me. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit so that we can be at his beck and call. It's no longer you that live, but Christ that liveth in you. It's not your will, it's his will. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me that I might have life and that more abundantly. Thank God for that. So how does the Holy Spirit comfort us? In addition to what I'm saying or just reiterating some of the thoughts, the comfort I have is that he is with us with his presence forever. I will send you another comforter and he will be with you. Do you have that comforter? Do you have that comforter in you? Are you assured of that truth? The comforter, not only that his presence is with me, but he will fill me to overflowing as I yield to him. Do you have the assurance that you are filled to overflowing? He will fill your hearts today with to overflowing, is an old song. As the Lord commanded you, bring your vessels, not a few. He will fill you today to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and power. I thank God for that good old hymn. Another reason I know that I am, I'm just a part of God and he part of me, he has filled me with joy. I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I don't want you to think that I'm being a hypocrite up here, to say that I've never had a down time or I've never had to, you know, some things that have brought me down. But I'm telling you, there is an overriding joy in my heart that Christ has loved me, the creator of the universe, and that he is working all things after the counsel of his own will. And that gives me joy that just cannot be taken away. And I want to nurture that. I want to have joy. You know, what would you sell if you thought I could buy joy? I would sell everything to have joy in my heart. But I didn't have to. God purchased it for me. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost I have in the Holy Spirit. That is what God has given to all those that receive him, the joy of Christ in them. And I repeat this again. The Comforter has come that you may have life and that you might have that life more abundantly. Some people are living a mediocre, pathetic life and they're calling themselves Christians. It's a slap in God's face for all that he has done for me that I ever come into a place where I don't live in the life that he's promised me. I know weeping may come in the evening, but joy cometh in the morning. Do not remain in a state of despondency. God is greater than that. He is with you. Can anything equal what God has done for you? Anything, tell me, name it. All the money in the world, all the faith in the world, all the health in the world, everything in the world cannot compare what God has given you in the blood of Jesus Christ. And in the person of the Holy Ghost. That's what God has done for you. Hallelujah. He prods me onward. He didn't say, okay, you've done enough. You're getting old now. You can sit down. Let the younger guys take over. No, God says, move on. Move on! When you can't walk, crawl. We can't crawl, roll. I'm going to keep going all the way to heaven. I thank God for that. None of you are too old, and none of you are too young that the Holy Spirit can't move you. None of you are too sick. None of you are too lame. God can do anything through anyone. He will give glory through you. That's what God will do for you. We'll mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. That's what God has promised us. And that's what we'll do in him. He comforts us with his assurance. I am with you. I am with you now. Don't be lied to. Don't let Satan give you a lie that God has somehow forgotten you or left you or overlooked you. God has never overlooked anyone. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is all-powerful. He is unchanging in all of his ways. That's the God you serve. That's the God we serve. Hallelujah! Thank you for the assurance, Lord God. times I've argued for the fullness of the Spirit theologically and want to bring out theological truths of how this should happen. But as I said earlier, I'm not dealing theologically as much as I'm dealing experientially. I stand here today as a man that by the grace of God, well, I've suffered very little. I suffered very little in my life. But the little bit of trials or difficulties that I've had in my life, each time God has come beside me and said, here, I'm with you. We're going to go through this together. We're going to see it to the end. And you may have to suffer some difficulties, but I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to deliver you, and I'm going to bring you safe to the other side. That's the God I serve. I have that assurance. I have that assurance in my heart. Oh, and I thank God for that above all things. I thank God from the time I first had that understanding of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the assurance of the Holy Spirit which brought that to me has never left me, and I've never stood there in doubt. I want you to have that assurance because I witness for it out of my own mouth because I have seen it experientially in myself. I've seen it in others that have stood in the Word of God, not as some emotional experience, but as some experience that has been based on truth and fact and the presence of God in their lives. And He has brought them through, those that have trusted God. And He will bring you through. Even if you have a weak faith, God is going to bring you through. He is with you. Trust in God for those things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have the assurance that God will bring me salvation. He's brought that already. He has seated me together with Christ in heavenly places. I have the assurance that when the end comes in my life, that not only will God take me, but He will take me to Himself. What better place to go than to be with God? Isn't that what we have talked about for all our lives? Whether we should stay here, Paul said, or I should go to be to God, I don't know what to choose because to be with Christ is far better, but to stay here is needful for you. But I do know when that time comes that God is going to sweep me up by the arms of His mercy and I will forever be with the Lord. I have the assurance because Christ said it. He came back to prove it. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. I have the assurance that He is coming again to take me to Himself, that where He is, there I may be also. And every one of your loved ones that has gone before you have Christ in their heart as they have given themselves to Christ. They are at home with the Lord. They are at home with the Lord. I have the assurance. I have the assurance of a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and there will be no more hate, there will be no more deception, there will be no more suffering or pain or tears. God will wipe away all tears, and we will live eternally with Jesus Christ in that new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And on top of that, I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to have a new mind. I'm going to have everything about Bert Lloyd is going to be brand new. I'm going to have a new name. I don't even know what it is yet. But there's a new name written down in glory, and I'm going to have a new name in addition to that. It's probably going to be the child of God, the chosen child of God, the beloved son, Bert Lloyd. I think about John saying that the disciple whom Jesus loved. I'm the disciple whom He loved. I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. You're the disciple whom Jesus loved. He loved you so much that He gave His life for you. That's who we have. Listen, we got to be filled with an aggressive love for Christ. An aggressive stand against Satan and the things of the world and the things of your own flesh. You've got to make a stand and say, I'm not going to be duped by anything that the world will try to thrust down my spiritual throat. I'm going to stand for God alone. Do you have the assurance? Let me hear you say, I have the assurance. I have the assurance. And you have the assurance. We all have the assurance because Christ is true to his promise. And the Holy Spirit is in us of a truth. May God bless you this day. I have the assurance. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.